Evangelical preacher came into this Midwestern town and he needed to mail some letters. So he goes walking down the street and he sees this young man and says, can you tell me where the post office is? And the boy says, well, if you go down the street, turn left by the courthouse, across the street is the post office. And Billy Graham says, well, thank you, thank you. Did you know I'm preaching tonight in the big tent? And I'd like to invite you. I'm going to be telling the people how to find heaven. Would you like to come? And the boy says, mister, I don't think so. You don't even know where the post office is. So this is Palm Sunday, and that has nothing to do with Palm Sunday. So here we have Palm Sunday, and for me, Palm Sunday is the most important aspect of the whole Easter part, and maybe in Christianity too, because Palm Sunday is a delineation point. And I'm going to go on to explain that. So imagine yourself, you're a Jew 2,000 years ago, living in Jerusalem. Your family's all Jewish, your friends are all Jewish, and you've been exposed to the Torah for a long time through the rabbis. So you're Jewish. But you've been sneaking out and listening to this other guy. You know who he is, named Jesus. And Jesus is preaching a radically different message. He's not preaching about the law. He's preaching about a loving acceptance, a new God, a presence that is very familiar and very close. And when Jesus says the word Father, that translation is inaccurate. He was speaking in Aramaic, and in Aramaic it means that word is Abba, and Abba translates like daddy. Imagine, who do you call your own father? Did you call him father? No, it's more like, hey, pops, what's going on? I called my father Popsy. You probably have a name for your father too. It's a familiar, intimate name. And that was his message. That there is a loving presence out there that is intimate, familiar. Oh, it's the Unity God. But you can see in that point in time, that wasn't the status quo. There was a God that punished. He was also a loving God. He was also a loving God. I remember that. But he was a punisher. And we know that from the commandments. Here's some of the first three commandments. The first one, you shall have no other God before me. Okay. Make no idols, for I am a jealous God. Okay, that's number two. Number three, don't make wrongful use of my name or the of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who disobeys. So it's about obedience, it's about punishment, it's about staying in line, and also I'm a loving God. Right. So this was, in a sense, the tyranny and the post-traumatic stress that people were living in, because you had to please. It was constantly a pleasing and appeasing process. Well, now, Jesus was saying, no. It's not about belief, it's about right action. It's about being kind. It's about being cooperative. It's being about generous and compassionate. Well, you can't have that and you can't have this. So let's fast forward to Palm Sunday. Remember, you're Jewish and you've heard that Jesus is coming to town for Passover. So let's throw him a celebration. And that's what they did. They decided they'd get the palms because that's how the honor kings and lords and dignitaries was with palms. Of course, you put them out on the road. So they're familiar with doing this. They go out, chop the palms down, they get ready for them to come. Now, the prophecy is, in the Torah, it's written that the Messiah will come on a donkey, and he'll come through into the gates, through the city gates into Jerusalem, and you will know him. Okay. Jesus knows the scripture also. He's walking along with his buddies, and he doesn't have a donkey. Where's he going to get a donkey? He has to fulfill the prophecy, because in a sense, he knows that his job is to fulfill that prophecy of bringing peace to the Israelites, to the chosen people, and perhaps knocking them off a pedestal a little bit, because we're all chosen. And he knows that. So what he wants to do is to break the spell. He wants to bring a whole new avenue of truth to the people. So he asks his disciples, go ahead, you got to find a donkey somewhere. And they do. And so Jesus climbs up and we're traveling into town. And boy, the people are just going nuts. They're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Which means kind of like the Blessed One, the Messiah, the King, the Lord. We praise you. This is great stuff. And Jesus is walking in, and I mean on the donkey and riding in, and there's this big celebration. This is the turning point. This is the point in time of the death of the old and the rebirth of something very, very special. The God of love, as opposed to the God of judgment. This is the true meaning of Palm Sunday, is this delineation point where you walk in and it's into a whole nother point in time, and we can mark it on the calendar. That was the day when the tides turned. That was the day that triggered his execution too, because it could not be allowed. He had to be silenced. It threatened the status quo so much that they had to do something about it. And they did. It was the conspiracy that went on. But if you take a look at from the mystical side, with Jesus' death, this was the death or the sacrifice, to sacrifice the old so that the new could be reborn out of the phoenix. The arising. So that's kind of the story about that. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. The beginning part now, moving forward, is how do we take the compassion of Jesus and how do we bring it and make it alive and present and relevant in our lives today? Because that message has not gone away. That, in a sense, has always been the covenant. Is that you be the hands and the heart and the place where the beloved shows up and does good work in the world. I want to speak to compassion, because compassion really was Jesus' message, and he demonstrated it time and time again. When there was the woman who was going to be stoned to death, by men. Don't get me started. For adultery. Aye. Jesus said, he without any sins, you go ahead, throw the first stone. He dispersed the crowd in a very skillful way. very skillful way. And what Jesus saw was he could feel the suffering of the woman and her struggle, and he did something about it. He stepped forward. He didn't have to, but he did. This was against the times. They could have demanded that she be stoned. They could have been, Jesus could have been a heretic saying, hey, you can't interrupt. This is our law. This has to be punished. But no. I want to open up the word compassion. Compassion has two sides. The first side of the compassion, the first part which triggers compassion, is empathy. The ability to feel somebody's struggle, to be able to put in, you know, to get into their shoes, to feel what it feels like to have their amount of anxiety, whatever they're going through, to really feel that. Okay, that's the first part of compassion. We can feel, I know every one of you feels very deeply. The next step of compassion is, what are we going to do? Compassion is a doing. It's not just a feeling. It's a doing. And that's what Jesus was all about, was how do you manifest what you feel inside? How do you manifest it out into the world? That's the key point. It's the key point for all of us. And so when we see suffering, when we see struggle, do we help? Chances are we're more likely to help when we're the only one around. But when we're in a big group, usually we stand out and we just watch. We're not willing to put ourselves out and to go forward. Some of you, I know some of you have. But just looking at that, do we have the courage to help? Do we have the courage to listen to what's in our heart and to lend a hand and to reach out? This was Jesus' message. He broke norms all over the place, like the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. Ooh. Samaritans were Jews, but they didn't believe the same beliefs. The Samaritan was on the West Bank. Oh, okay. But Jesus talked to her. You're not supposed to talk to a woman, especially a Samaritan, alone. No. That's taboo. So he was breaking traditions. And he also basically opened his heart to her and told her of his mission. And she was so moved that she went back in to tell about Jesus. So the fact that Jesus talked to her and that she was afraid and spoke to her, this was, again, compassion in action. And when he tells the story of the prodigal, there's the prodigal son who returns and is forgiven again and again. So his message was this compassion. I'm going to tell a story about a woman who had that compassion. And she was a social worker, and she was working in Africa. She was passing out food to the orphans. They had enough food for one meal a day, and it was a large piece of bread. And this young girl, about 7 years old, would come up and was just wait there. First one in line would be standing for hours to be there. And she would look so expectantly, and she'd receive her bread in gratitude and then take off. And the social worker woman was interested, very interested, who is this little girl and what is she all about? And so she decided to replace herself so she could follow the girl after she gave her the bread. And she followed her back through the streets, back to the slums, back to this cardboard box, basically, they were living in. And here's this four-year-old little boy. She breaks the bread in half and gives him the bread. She shares what meager rations she has, she shares. Well, this touched the woman so deeply that the next day when the little girl showed up, she broke all the rules. She gave her an extra piece of bread, which isn't much, but she was taking a risk. It was a risk that she was more than willing to take, and so she had to sneak it off because other kids would, you could have really started a scene. But she did it. And when she did it, that generosity came back to her with a smile from that little girl that just melted her heart. She said, "It's one of the most memorable smiles I have ever received." And she smiled like that every single day until she left that left her job there in Africa. So we can see that, is it right belief? Is it following the law? Or is it following kindness? And there's a quote here that I'm going to mess up. And it's something like, "Today I told the lie in order to be kind, because I think it's more valuable to be kind than it is to be honest." So maybe kindness trumps honesty or even trumps truth. Maybe its kindness is the high watermark. But see, what is kindness but love in action? Love with work boots on is kindness. As we walk forward, as we do good deeds, we are the hands of the beloved, the hearts of the beloved. Now, this idea of telling a little lie, you do it all the time. I do it all the time. When my wife asks me, "Does this outfit make me look fat?" You know the answer. "Honey, you look terrific." Every time. Regardless. So, the point is the kindness aspect, and that's what Jesus brought. And so, the last story is going to be the story of the Peace Pilgrim. And for those of you who don't know about the Peace Pilgrim, when the Korean War broke out, it was too much for her. And she decided she would do a pilgrimage, and she would walk the United States from L.A. all the way to the East Coast. And everywhere she would stop, she would spread peace, and she would talk about peace. And she carried no money. She had a notebook and a pen, no jacket even. And off she went with the sweatshirt. And she was befriended all the way along her journey. I mean, she exuded love. She was love in action, and people recognized it. And so she's coming in, she was in this town, and she's heading out of town. The weather's looking kind of grim. And she passes this house, and there's these two people sitting on the porch. And they wave to her and say, "Oh, hi, I know you, we know you, we love your work. You know, like, have a good day." They can see it's going to start raining pretty soon. But they just say, "Oh, and by the way, stay away from that service station at the end of town there. You're going to be going by. Stay away. They're atheists there. Stay away from them. They're not good people." Okay. So she continues, and as she's walking along, it starts to rain. And it starts to rain more, and she's getting wet. She's getting cold. And luckily, she finds the gas station because there's the overhang like this. And so she gets out of the rain. So she's sitting there shivering. And she hears this loud voice saying, "Hey, you, come on in here. What are you doing out there?" So she walks in. And here's this nice-looking man. He says, "Sit down. Get warm by the heater. You're dripping wet." And gives her a towel, and she dries off. starts to get warm. He says, well, tell me about what's going on. So she starts telling about her mission. She says, oh, he says, stop. I want my wife to hear this. And so he brings in the wife, then he brings in the kids, and they have a great time talking. Well, you know the rest of the story. The story is going to invite them. He invites her to dinner. They have a spare room, and she sleeps overnight with them, and the next morning they gives her breakfast and packs her a lunch for the road. These are those bad people. They don't have the right belief. I'll take those people any day of the week. Those are my people. Yeah. Actually, those are Unity people. So, in conclusion, Palm Sunday is that point in time where we made that seismic shift in consciousness. We shifted from one form to a whole new form of being, a being love, of being cooperation, a new beginning, a rebirth. That was the promise. And we're carrying it through in communities like this. Amen. So we're going to put up the affirmation slide. And this is going to be a special affirmation because you're going to give yourself a hug. You're going to hug yourself as you read this affirmation. As I look inside, I feel love and acceptance for everyone, including myself. Amen. So it is. So, be kind and spread joy.